True Crime Anonymous may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to True Crime Anonymous. My name is Stephanie, and today I'm going to be telling you the story of baby Bella Bond. So I decided that every Monday, we're going to call this Mass Murder Monday, and I will tell you a story of a murder that happened in Massachusetts. I'm doing this because I live in Massachusetts. So that's what I came up with. But today we are telling the story of little baby Bella Bond. And I remember this case like it was yesterday. Everybody in Massachusetts must have felt so invested in this case. It's a sad one. So prepare yourself for all the feels. Angry, sad. Is there any other emotions besides that? I don't know. Huh. Anyway, baby Bella Bond. That's our story. Okay. It was a warm summer day on the shore of Deer Island in Boston, Massachusetts. A woman named Bonnie Flynn was walking her dog along the water just as she had done so many other times before. But all of a sudden, she sees something that looks like it doesn't belong on the shoreline. As she gets a little closer, she realizes it's a black plastic trash bag. She didn't want to touch it, naturally. I wouldn't either. So she looks around to see what she could open the bag with. She decides to grab a seashell and kind of like stabs the trash bag, scrapes it, like tries to get it to open. And she's like swatting the flies away, and she's trying to keep her dog calm because her dog is becoming increasingly curious and anxious of what is going on. And the bag opens, and the worst possible thing happens. When the bag opens, two small legs belonging to a small child just kind of plop out of the bag. And she's like, this can't be real. Oh my God. This woman is in utter shock. She puts a hand over her mouth while backing away, trying not to throw up. And she's like fumbling around looking for her phone, and she finds her phone and immediately tries to dial 911. And she said it was a lot harder than she thought just to dial 911 because she was shaking and trembling and all over the place. And she calls 911 and she's like, I just found a dead baby on the beach. Horrible. I can't even imagine. So the police show up and immediately section off the area where the bag containing this child was. And this poor little deceased baby, thrown away like trash, was taken to the local coroner's office so they could do an examination and try to make an ID and determine the cause of death. Thank you. And cadaver dogs were actually sent to the scene where baby... We're going to call her Baby Doe, because that's what the news media called her until she was identified. Baby Doe was her name. So you'll hear me using Baby Doe until we identify her in a little bit. Well, I just gave away some of my story. Whatever. It's late. So the cadaver dogs were brought back to the scene where Baby Doe was found to see if they could detect any other scent. To see if there's any other children or people along the shoreline, and thankfully no one else was found. And on July 3rd, an autopsy was performed. This child was determined to be between the ages of 3 and 5. She had appeared to be white with possible Hispanic ancestry. Her hair was brown and wavy, about 14 inches long, and hadn't been cut in about 2 years. It's crazy how they can tell how long your hair hasn't been cut in. It's insane to me. She was between 3'1" and 3'6" and weighed 30 pounds. And oddly enough, Baby Doe didn't show any signs of malnutrition. So they at least fed this kid. A digital image was made of her face because they couldn't just put out the... they couldn't just put out her real picture because her face was so bloated from being in the water. They had to actually make a digital image of her face and put flyers out. And these flyers also included the clothes she was wearing and the blanket that she had with her. Her blanket was zebra printed and her pants were polka dotted. To be more specific, white pants with black polka dots. The police really needed the public's help to identify this child. Because Baby Doe was in the water for so long, they couldn't get fingerprints, and her body was just so extremely bloated. They couldn't get anything with any identifiable marks. And she was probably too young to have ever been to the dentist. Because I know, like, some dentists don't require a child to go until they're 3 years old. I think as the years have gone on, it's like you have to go when you're 2 or 1. Who knows? It's probably like when you're 4 days old by now, because everybody's so anal about everything. Anyway, mini rant over. The media went crazy for this story. I remember this being the top story every single day for months and months and months. It was insane. Every little detail that had come out, I mean, the media was on it and giving it to us. I feel like all of New England, or even just Massachusetts, I don't know, everyone was just so invested in this case. But there was a press conference displaying images of clothing and blankets and the digital picture of Baby Doe held at Deer Island, the location where she was found. They asked the public for help. Officials asked the public to be aware of children who may have disappeared or gone unaccounted for in the days leading up to the 4th of July. but no one came forward. A criminologist said this was no stranger to the child. A family member had to have done this. A stranger wouldn't have took the time to include a blanket or clothing with the child. They wouldn't have cared. But tips begin to pour in. The images would eventually have been viewed over 60 million times. 60 million times. That is an insane number for anything. 60 million people have seen this image, and no one knows who this child is. Come on. Investigators also set up a 24-hour hotline for anyone with any information. They also wanted to create other ways of communication. If you don't want to call, so they created a text line. Excuse me, sorry. And they had all of these digital billboards up all across Massachusetts. I think there was 80-something of them. There were so many of these digital billboards with the Baby Bella thing. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing about this case, without seeing anything about this case. It was insane. Just about a month after Baby Doe was found, investigators have the DNA profile of Baby Doe, but it didn't match any of the children in the missing children database. So nobody even reported this poor little child missing, which makes me so sad. On July 29th, so this is just over a month after she was found, hundreds of people gathered on Deer Island for a candlelight vigil. It was an amazing turnout. So many people felt so badly for this little girl, and the media had been reporting nonstop on this case. Like I said, so many people felt so connected to this missing mystery child, including myself. I really felt so strongly and so invested in this case from the very beginning, just like everybody else. And then a month goes by, and nothing. And then almost 2 months go by, and police actually receive a tip on September 17th about a girl from Dorchester, and the home where she was living was searched that day. And then just one day later, from the report to the police, Baby Doe was identified as Bella Nevea Amoroso Bond. The tip came from the sister of one of Rochelle's neighbors. Rochelle is Bella's mother, whom Bella was living with. The neighbor had noticed Bella was not home, and she even confronted Rochelle and her boyfriend Michael, and they had claimed that Bella had been taken away by DCF. Nice excuse. The neighbor told his sister, and the sister is the one who ended up calling the police. Another witness in the neighborhood said that she also grew concerned when Bella's toys were all thrown away, and she hadn't been at her house for a while. Threw all the kids' toys away. These people, man. So, like I said, the same day that the tip came in, a search warrant was executed for the home of Rochelle Bond, 40 years old, in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Authorities also went to the home of Joe Amoroso and asked him the question everyone else was asking too. Didn't you know your daughter was missing? It turns out Joe Amoroso had never even met his daughter. He had one, maybe two Skype conversations with her in her whole little life. But he had learned of Bella's death when Rochelle told him during a visit. It was like within a week before the positive ID was made. Joe said he didn't think Rochelle would hurt Bella. He claims that Rochelle was pretty sedated and had an injection of heroin by her boyfriend quickly after Bella's death. Joe Amoroso said that there was a needle mark visible on her neck and that it couldn't have gotten there by her own doing. I mean, it probably could have, but he didn't think so. Joe Amoroso's mother, Bella's paternal grandmother, believed that Rochelle was heavily involved in Bella's death and openly questioned the truthfulness of her allegations toward Michael McCarthy. Amoroso said Bella would be buried with his family members in Winthrop, Massachusetts, and decided to make the funeral and wake public. I remember this guy on the news, and I felt like he was eating all this media attention up, like it was like he was famous or something. And I pretty much thought that he made the funeral and wake public just as some sort of publicity stunt. I would like to think it was because so many of us were so emotionally connected to this case, but to me, it just felt like he liked the attention. Like, guy, where were you when Bella was alive? It's not like he lived far away. I don't know. I just caught bad vibes from this dude. Rochelle Bond had a really bad drug habit. She was a pretty big IV heroin user. She had a big problem. She had actually had two other children removed by DCF. I don't even know how she still had custody of Bella if two other kids weren't allowed to live with her. She had also been arrested multiple times for various crimes, including prostitution. And I'm assuming that's probably how she paid for her drugs. Well, some of them. While she wasn't spending her welfare money on it. Who knows? I'm just making assumptions. I think they're pretty good assumptions, but whatever. I'm not a police person. But the police had dealt with complaints of neglect four separate times against Bella, and DCF responded to only two of those complaints. Each time, the case was closed. Again, I don't understand how she still lived there. It makes no sense. How are two children going to be deemed, like, unable to live there because of unsafe living conditions, but you have a little baby there, or not a baby, but a toddler. You have a little child that is still allowed to live there, and there's all these complaints against this mother. I don't even have words. Poor Bella probably just, like, slipped through the cracks of DCF, who is understaffed and each worker is overloaded with cases. And this, unfortunately, is a reoccurring problem in Massachusetts. Anyways, Bella's aunt said she never suspected it was Bella. How? I don't know. And Bella's grandmother, I'm assuming maternal grandmother, which makes this even worse, didn't even know she existed. That's horrible. Whatever. Michael McCarthy was charged with second-degree murder. Rochelle was charged as an accessory to this murder. She was believed to have assisted McCarthy in covering up her death. She was also charged with larceny because she kept getting her welfare check for Bella, about $1,400 worth of free drug money, probably. So, on September 21st, 2015, they were both arraigned. Rochelle's bail was set at $1 million, and Michael was denied bail. And they were both set to appear on February 16th, 2016. Then, after that, Rochelle's trial was set for December 1st, 2016. Now, authorities knew that because the cause of death was actually unknown, it might be difficult to prove murder to a jury. But they were gonna really try anyway. And Rochelle alleged that Michael McCarthy had punched Bella in the stomach multiple times until she turned gray, swollen, and lifeless. He literally punched her in the stomach until she was gray. And he claimed that she was a demon, that it was her time to die, and that he was the sole perpetrator of the murder. Prosecutors of McCarthy alleged Bella was murdered in one of the many abusive occasions after she wouldn't go to bed. McCarthy decided to calm the child down. And then when Rochelle entered the room, she saw him near Bella's body, which was swollen and gray. So sad. And he indicated that she was deceased. Michael then said to Rochelle, like, if you say anything, I'll kill you too. Don't call the police or I'll kill you too. Bella was then put in garbage bags and they put her in the freezer. And she stayed in the freezer for however many days. It was probably a month. Maybe two. And then he placed her body in a weighted duffel bag and went out to the water, took her out of the duffel bag into, so she was just in these black trash bags, and put her in the water, and it ended up drifting off to Deer Island. McCarthy said Rochelle did it. Rochelle said McCarthy did it. He claims that he had no knowledge of death. and there was no sufficient evidence that existed to prove otherwise. He claims that he moved out before Bella's death, and that he left because he saw Rochelle's negative treatment of Bella, which included physical and emotional abuse. He said that she was more likely to kill her because she was a drug addict. So was he. He was a drug addict too. The autopsy showed no signs of injuries as Rochelle described, and that she fabricated the story to avoid being charged with murder. In February 2017, they determined that McCarthy's trial would take place later that same year. Here's the part that makes me and everybody else in the world upset. On February 10th, 2017, Rochelle Bond pleaded guilty and was given time served plus 2 years probation, meaning that she was able to walk out of prison that day and she was a free woman. Now, she had conditions of this probation, like drug testing and probably like an ankle bracelet and tons of other things because they wanted to keep a close eye on her. But she was free. She literally got no jail time except the time that she already served. I think invested in this case was highly upset, and we all thought that she just pleaded guilty so she could get the plea deal, because if she tells Michael and said that he did all those things, that they would let her go home. So she did it. It's just insane. McCarthy's trial was in early June 2017. He had been charged with first-degree murder. I think I had said second-degree murder earlier, but it was first-degree murder. But the judge allowed the jury to consider lesser charges like second-degree murder or involuntary manslaughter. But on June 26th, 2017, the jury returned a guilty verdict of murder in the second degree after 23 hours of deliberation. He was sentenced to life in prison, but will be eligible for parole in 2037. Now, I don't know what you think about this case, but I personally think that's not enough time for either one of them. It just makes me so mad and so upset. And I told you, you guys were all gonna be mad. And this case was gonna make you feel all the feels. But this case literally tells you, like, see something, say something, and just one tip can lead to a whole investigation and a case breaking wide open. So you need to be alert and be aware of all your surroundings at all times. And if you see something, tell somebody. Even if it's not the police, tell somebody. Maybe they'll tell the police if they think it's bad enough or whatever. But this case was a big one, and I really got into it, and I felt so badly for this poor little girl. She literally slipped through the cracks with DCF. It just wasn't... She didn't belong there, you know? Two other kids couldn't live there, her brothers and sister. But she had to go through all this abuse, alleged abuse, and ended up being killed because she was a demon or she wouldn't go to bed. Either one of those reasons is pretty absurd. Like, I have kids and they're alive and they didn't want to go to bed frequently. You know, I didn't kill them because they didn't go to bed. And, yeah. So that's Mass Murder Monday. Bella Amoroso Bond. This poor little girl. Killed by her drug addicted mother and her boyfriend. Who was paranoid and thought she was a demon or whatever his problem was, but they both didn't get the sentence that they deserved, in my opinion. But if you're still listening, thank you so much for your continued support. It means so much to me. If you are listening from Apple, please leave me 5 stars. If you're listening on Spotify, please follow me. And click the link in the description to support me as well. Become a monthly to me. I have merch out. Sweatshirts, socks, t-shirts, all those things. I'll leave the link in the description. And I hope you all have had a lovely Columbus Day weekend. It's back to the normal grind tomorrow. And I know I said I was going to do 1 episode a week, but I've literally put out like 6 episodes in a little over a week. But we'll probably have a case out in about a day or two. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. You guys are the best. I'm doing 2 thumbs up, but you can't see me. I'm so stupid. Good night, everyone. Oh, wait a minute. We're on Instagram. Find us at True Crime Anonymous.